Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk Podcast. This is a recap episode of the Govs' massive win over Utah Tech at home. We've got Chris with me, as always, and Mr. Kyle King. Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, thank you guys for having me again. Reoccurring guest status. I love this.
Yeah, I mean, not too many people said that they hated you, so I figured I could bring you back.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's what he said about me too, Kyle. So.
And then Chris, obviously, you know, he's here. Chris, how did you feel about the game yesterday?
I don't think there's just too many things you can look at in a negative form. After yesterday's win, they won and dominated all three phases of the game. So if there's a negative that you can find, you're gonna be looking for it for a while.
What about you?
Oh, don't worry, I can find that negative, Chris. I can absolutely find it, and I even know what the negative is.
Well, I'm sure there is one. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of good happened yesterday. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I think a lot of good did absolutely happen. I think it's a good Govs team. They did not play around or play down to their competition at all. I mean, heck, what was it? The start of the fourth quarter, all of a sudden the backups came in to start getting some of their reps in. I mean, it was a good showing by pretty much everybody except for a few things, but I'll get into that in a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, the first couple of drives were, you know, yeah, and a little worrisome then, but I think beyond that, I don't think you could find too much. But
so
you might prove me wrong.
You know, starting off, we'll just go over it real quick. So Chris Parson, 18 of 25 for 204 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Parson also was the leading rusher with 11 carries for 82 yards and a touchdown. Kamari Maxwell led the way for the receivers, had 4 catches, 71 yards. Shamar Kirk had 4 catches for 52 yards and 2 scores. First time that a Gov has had 2 scores in a game this year, a wide receiver, so that was cool. Jaden Robinson also had 4 catches and 1 touchdown. Javius Bond had a couple good returns. Austin Smith got to come into the game, which is usually a good sign. Usually means the Govs have handled business. He was efficient. You know, I didn't ask him to do much, mostly just handed the ball off. But, I mean, the Govs had, through 3 quarters, they had a 35-3 lead, and then both teams scored a touchdown in the fourth. So 42-10 was their final score. I wanted to keep them out of the end zone, but, you know, they went down there and got a cheap little touchdown in the fourth when it was – clearly decided. Kyle, let's get right into it. What were your takeaways, positive or negative?
Well, the positives for me are our defense continued to limit the ground game for opponents. I said this on the pregame show many times on Saturday. The Governor's defense, besides the small school from Georgia that we played, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher on the season. They held Utah Tech to 94 yards on the ground total. They also, and that is also with a mobile quarterback that they had who could scramble and run the ball when he needed to. Not only that, they limited them to 143 yards in the passing game. So the defense looks good. The defense, to me, is what I'm actually more excited about than our offense. But, you know, that's the good. The other good on the offensive side of the ball for me is they were able to take advantage of Utah Tech's front four are big dudes.
Yeah.
But they don't move well laterally. We did a good job of getting to the outside and playing outside the tackles and getting guys into space and letting them do their thing. Now, the negative that I will bring up that really just bugs the living crap out of me, and I know it bugs Coach too whenever I bring it up to him on the coach's show on Wednesday.
Yep.
Penalties.
Yep.
We had 11 penalties for 76 yards last week.
Yeah.
Like, you can get away with that against, you know, a Utah Tech. You can get away with that against a Moorhead State. You're not going to be able to get away with that when Georgia, when that other Georgia team comes in here next week against the Govs. That is a good team. West Georgia should be ranked when they come into the fort. You cannot have 11 penalties for 76 yards.
No. And I think that's definitely a fair criticism. And I knew that's where I had a pretty good idea that's where you were going to go with it. Like you said, it didn't affect you when you're playing against an inferior opponent. But when you're playing against Abilene, like last week, perfect example. Last week, Kyle, we had the Govs have the chance to get the ball back down two scores with all their timeouts, a chance to make it a game. And you get a stupid roughing the passer penalty that was just completely unnecessary. It completely screwed your chances of coming back. So last week, in total, the Govs had 9 penalties. So 11 this week, 9 last week. And then against Middle, they had more than the opponent. They've had more than the opponent in every single game.
Yeah.
That's a trend that's going to hurt you at some point. I mean, you can say it hurt them last week, but a lot of other things hurt them last week.
I mean, there was what, like 2-3 times we had illegal formation penalties. Like, that's just little things that, like,
there was a couple 12 men in the huddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Illegal substitutions. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's little things like that that I know will absolutely drive Coach Ferris crazy this week.
So it was interesting. After the game, I got to talk to Coach Ferris, and I asked him what he took away from the game. And obviously the number one thing was he was happy of how they rebounded, especially the offense after last week. And then, you know, the secondary played much better this week. The secondary got kind of torched by Abilene. And Utah Tech, I don't think, is capable of torching anybody, but the defense played much better as a whole. But the thing that he did mention was the penalties. Got to play cleaner. Got to get that fixed going into the depths of conference play. So he knows that that's definitely something that has got to be better. What did you think about Chris's performance yesterday, Kyle?
I thought it was good. I mean, one of the things that I am constantly impressed by with Chris Parsons is his decision-making. And there were a few times, in fact, two of them were touchdowns, I believe, in the end zone. I don't know. I think one might have gotten called back. But you saw Chris Parsons come up to the line. And, again, this is something I talked to Coach about, you know, trusting in him when he goes out there to run this RPO, because you have like literally 1 second when the ball is snapped to figure out whether or not you're handing it off, you're keeping it, or you're throwing it. But Parsons walked up to the line, started to get under center or behind center, and all of a sudden he stopped and he looked and he audibled because he saw a matchup that he could take advantage of. And each time he did, he took advantage of that matchup. So he's doing a good job with his pre-reads. Not only that, he does a really good job, in my opinion, of whenever he is forced into a situation where he's going to have to scramble, he does not just get the happy feet and go, oh, I've got to take off and run this.
Right.
He is looking downfield. Watch him next time. He will roll out and he will keep his eyes downfield to see if a receiver is getting open.
So did you guys see the quote? I think you did. I got to talk to Shamar Kirk as well. And I didn't even think about it, really, to be honest. Like, I knew he played at Miami, but I didn't really think about it. He was catching passes from Cam Ward, and I asked him how playing with Chris Parson has, like, compared to playing with some other great quarterbacks during his career, and he offered that. He said that the way that CP kind of improvises, and the way that he always looks downfield and isn't afraid to just launch it and also make plays with his legs, he said it reminded him of Cam Ward. So that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, Cam Ward also played in the FCS at Incarnate Word. So that, you know, kind of some similarities there. Chris, what did you think overall yesterday about the offense in particular?
Just like what Kyle was saying. I mean, Chris, I think, just kind of really controlled the game. And, you know, they were able to get the run going a little bit, 253 rushing yards yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I did like that because, you know, first couple of games, or I guess first few games, you know, we were kind of, me and you both were kind of questioning, and I'm sure Kyle was too. So, but they averaged 6.8 yards a game, a carry, you know. So, offensively was very good. Defensively, I don't know if you want to go into that now or if we're going to wait, but, I mean, they only allowed, let's say, I was just looking at here, this here, only 143 receiving yards.
Yep.
2.8 yards per rush, and you know, under 100 yards rushing. So I was more impressed with our defense, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what I thought was impressive was the offense this year compared to the offense last year against Utah Tech was so much better. Like, did you guys watch the game at Utah Tech last year? It was not fun to watch. I mean,
13-7, I think.
Yep, we had less than 100 passing yards.
Yep.
It was completely like a bar fight type of game. So this year, obviously they learned some things and were able to – obviously the personnel is better too. I mean, let's just call spade a spade. The defense was good, though, and I'm surprised. One thing that surprised me was we were able to get pressure on Utah Tech's quarterbacks. Kyle, we talked about this in the preview. Utah Tech had been allowing the fewest tackles for loss and the fewest sacks in the UAC. So that was something I was – and they usually get a lot of sacks, too, which is – I was telling Chris was something that I was going to be watching because – you know, the game is won at the line of scrimmage most of the time. And I thought our offensive line and our defensive line handled it pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, our line, both of our lines are really good. In fact, you know, I mean, when you have guys like Davion Hood and Charles Cruz III up there, you know, again, saying on the pregame, defensive line doesn't normally show up with a lot of tackles, right? But what they do a good job of is – they fill their roles correctly. So that way the linebackers can come in and get those tackles and clean things up. And if it gets to another level, you have a guy like Ellis Jr. who is not afraid to step up and make a tackle. I mean, heck, yesterday, Miles Wiley actually ended up, he led the team with six tackles, including had four solo stops on there. So, you know, you have a really good secondary that can cover, but they also don't shy away from coming up and hitting. And I think that's actually a credit to Coach Jones on the defensive side. Man, they just heap praise on him all the time. And you can just see the difference he has made with that defense and with his scheme.
You know, something that impresses me is like the way that even when the game is out of reach – one way or the other, like last week when we were down to Abilene at the end and it was clear what was going to happen. And then this week it was clear we easily had the win. Our players still play hard, like swarm tackling guys at the end of the game yesterday. Like this defense plays hard. They might not always have the best performance, but they give 110% effort. You can just tell there's a great buy-in on this team. So.
No, there really is. And I mean, that's the mentality that this team carries with them this season. You know, they go by that moniker of tough, tenacious, together, and they really do live by that. You know, you mentioned about how, you know, the difference between last year and this year's team. You know how everybody's kind of giving Brian Kelly crap for, you know, being spoiled. He was talking about LSU fans are spoiled. Well, yeah. Austin Peay fans are kind of spoiled too. We're into year two of the Jeff Ferris era, and we have a ranked team. We have a team that legitimately is good, and they're able to get the right guys in here to fit the system. And that's all fine and well, but then you got to be able to implement it, right? And they do a good job with that. They know their players inside and out, and they have high character guys who are going to fight until the very end. They don't care if they're up, you know, by 37 points, or if they're down by 12 going into 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. Like, these guys fight to the end, which I think is kind of a difference from last year's team a bit.
So it's interesting because, like you said, I think it's kind of maybe flying under the radar for some people, but like, this is year two only, and a 4-8 season last year, and we're a ranked team already. We have a ton of talent. And, you know, something we haven't mentioned yet, Ferris got his first home conference win yesterday. So that's great. You know, last year was tough. We had a lot of close calls. I think every freaking home game last year was decided at the, like, last 5 minutes of the game. You beat Alabama A&M at home last year, and then you beat Morehead at home this year. So, obviously, both non-cons. And then to you finally get that monkey off your back and finally get a division win at home, that had to feel good. And, you know, I talked to Ferris about it after the game, and he said that he gave all the credit to the fans. I thought it was another great crowd. I mean, especially like that, the midday Saturday is kind of tricky because families have a lot of stuff to do on the weekends, like in the middle of Saturday, and it was hot. There was a great crowd again. And this is a good quote. Coach told me that Austin Peay has the best home crowd in Tennessee outside of Knoxville.
Oh yeah.
So definitely makes a difference.
Home, you know, home cooking always makes a difference. And yeah, you know, just to go back to just the defense again really quick, and how I think that we all get excited about offense. You know, it's kind of like that old saying, chicks dig the long ball, right? Mm. You know, everybody loves offensive numbers, but look at how dominant our defense has been on third downs. Yeah. They held Utah Tech had 15 third downs. They only converted 5 of them. Like, that's fantastic. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, we converted 8 of 12. So it's a very lopsided category when it comes to getting these third downs. We haven't really created as many turnovers as I wish that we would. But when you are getting teams in that third down and you pretty much know, like, all right, punt team's on their way, it's kind of a great feeling.
Something else I'll throw out there too, defensively. I think we mentioned it Thursday, Bryce. Utah Tech's leading tackler, Alaveo, I think is how you say it. Yeah. Had nine solo tackles going into yesterday's game. How many do y'all think he had yesterday?
I know the answer, but tell us.
One.
Yep.
So that, I think they did a real – obviously, their focus was on him a lot, and they took him basically just completely out of the game. Impressive on their part, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you look at the even their offense, so they have this, you know, they utilize two quarterbacks. Sometimes they utilize three. Reggie Graff, their quarterback, is also like their best rusher. And holding him to 43, like Kyle mentioned earlier, I mean, their primary running back had 10 attempts for 27 yards. Now, granted, I know it's hard to run the ball when you're in a hole the whole game, but still, Reggie Graff had 16 carries for 43 yards. And, like, their receiving game was just a complete non-factor. I mean, they had a tight end that caught 3 passes for 46 yards. But other than that, it was just complete dominance on the defensive side of the ball. And yeah, there were a couple times where it could have been even worse if it weren't for penalties.
Yeah, you mentioned their tight end, Olsen, 46 yards. I mean, one of them was the 35 yards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. So, Kyle, if you had to pick one star of the game, who would you pick?
Oh, man, one star. That would be – God. Gotta –
I'm glad you asked him first.
Well, if you want, I'll go ahead.
Shamar Kirk was really good yesterday. Yeah. You know, Kamari Maxwell did well. You know what? I think it's got to be Miles Wiley. Honestly,
yeah.
Miles is a high caliber guy. He is a captain of this team, and for Miles to lead Austin Peay with 6 tackles, including 4 solo stops, I mean, that's a huge game for him out there, but that's just kind of normal for Miles when he's healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, he had a little injury situation. He missed the Moorhead game. He's a first-year guy coming in here being a captain, so that tells you a lot about him. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, Kyle kind of took mine.
Okay, tell you what. How about I switch?
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my other one, actually, was going to be Shamar Kirk. I mean, 4 receivings, 52 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he was all over the place. And I think y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, y'all were talking about penalties earlier, which I completely agree. But I think he had one taken off the board, did he not? Because Shamar, of a penalty? Yeah.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, he potentially could have had 3.
Jaden Robinson had one called back, too.
Yep.
So
yeah, so I'll go with Shamar Kirk.
Yeah,
but I'm glad we agree with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Shamar said that this was one of the deepest receiver rooms he's ever played with, and this is a guy that's played in the FBS. So that's
it. I mean, it really is, and I talk to Coach about it all the time, man. Where what I love about this team is every single room, whether it's the quarterback room, the DBs, you know, the defensive linemen, the O-linemen, every single room is competitive. Yeah. And all of those guys compete at such a high level. It is so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of competition going on amongst yourselves, it just makes you that much better.
For sure.
I'll go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say my star is going to be the offensive line as a whole, just because you only allow 1 sack. Utah Tech had been averaging 3 sacks a game. You only allow 1 sack, only 3 tackles for loss. And that's in the second half of the game when it's already decided. They paved the way for 253 rushing yards. So they dominated in the run game. They dominated in pass protection. They did their job. It was a great performance by all 5 guys. And then, you know, Maxwell, I want to point out, this was his best game of his career. Young receiver, really promising. I mean, he's a guy that kind of gets forgotten about because you have Kirk and you have Robinson and you have Jaden Eland. And Maxwell came up and just completely balled yesterday. So that's mine. I also wanted to point out, Kyle, we talked about how deep this wide receiver room is. And, like, the 2 biggest names haven't even played. Like, you have Walker Merrill from Tennessee and you have Nate Spielman from Tennessee who have not even been on the field yet. So,
well, yeah, I think we haven't even seen, you know, Coach talks all the time about he wants to see us play the best Govs football possible. And I don't think we've even seen that because I don't even think we've seen our team at full strength yet. Like, this, you know, this Death Star is not even fully operational yet.
Definitely fair to say.
Oh. I mean, since Kyle's on here joining us today, I'll ask both of y'all a question.
Okay.
We're talking about Graff being the leading rusher for Utah Tech. Do y'all know who the leading rusher is currently for the Govs?
Parson?
Yep. So I'll ask both of you. Does that concern you as a fan going forward? That your quarterback is your leading rusher?
I mean,
not in the slightest.
I do think it would be nice to have more consistent, like to have one guy kind of step up a little bit more in that back, you know, Richardson just fully cements himself as the number one.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with. Like, yeah. I'd like to see some more productivity from the running backs instead of, you know, it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good that Parsons is getting that job done. Would just like to see a little bit more productivity out of your backs. That's where I was going with that.
Well,
just
Simmons and Richardson, like, have both – don't get me wrong, they both have had solid seasons, but neither one of them I feel like have really stood out a whole lot. I mean, Corlin has had a really good receiving game last week, and he's done some good things, but I don't know. I don't think it's really anything I'm worried about yet.
I mean, he's got 3 touchdowns, so that's nothing to – you know, nothing.
The reason why you shouldn't be worried about that is because – the reason you haven't had one star guy come out is because you have 3 great backs back there who all can do different things. It's a really great change of pace kind of room that they have. And this is a offense that runs RPO. If this was a case of we just run a drop back and pass style offense and Parsons is running for his life every single, you know, time he drops back, kind of like, you know, like remember David Carr back when the Texans first started, had a terrible line, was constantly having to run for his life. Like, that would concern me. But the reason it doesn't is he's designed to run. We also do a ton of rollouts for him. So if he sees a way to go ahead and just scamper downfield for 20 yards instead of, right, you know, just taking a shot downfield, he can do that. Yeah. And an RPO style offense like this, it's not a bad thing for your quarterback to have the most rushing yards on the team, especially when you have three backs who are constantly subbing in back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, think about how many rushing yards Javius Bond would have if Javius Bond got to add his kick returns and his punt returns in there. This is a guy who's going on all three sides of the ball, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that dude's incredible. I mean, every time – I put a tweet out about it yesterday. Like, every time he touches the ball, you feel like something crazy can happen. I mean, he's great.
Yeah, he's a home run hitter from wherever he's at, which is just what you want. I forget who I was talking to, but it was like one of the defensive linemen, and I was joking with him about Javius Bond, and I was like, "Do you ever during camp, did you ever like just tell him like, dude, calm down, like knock it off?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "There was one time I was in the I went up to him in the locker room after practice, and I just told him, stick to one side of the field, please." He's like, "I am getting tired of thinking we have you bottled up on the left side, and then all of a sudden you're breaking to the right and going for a touchdown."
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I can't imagine the workload that he takes on. That's not a lot of people can do it, that's for sure. So, Chris, go ahead.
Go ahead, Kyle.
I was going to say, I think that's also a testament to his durability, too. Right. I mean, this guy is very rarely taking time off because, I mean, again, he's out there for defense. He's out there on offense. He goes out there when they have to go get a punt return or a kick return. Like, dude is just putting in work. And that's, like you said, that's not an easy feat, but that's a testament to his durability.
For sure. So we had – he had been playing – I talked to Coach about JB, and, you know, he played corner and safety in high school. But at Eastern Carolina, where he played before here, he was mostly just a returner. So playing at all three levels at this level is something that is new to him, newer to him. So, and to see him kind of embrace it and thrive in it is really cool to see. Chris, do you want to go over what happened around the UAC yesterday?
Yeah, I got it pulled up here. Of course, goes where 42-10 win over Utah Tech. Abilene Christian was – this was, I think, the kind of surprise of the day, in my opinion, within the UAC, getting their door blown off by Incarnate Word. I expected that to be a good game, not a blowout. Lamar had a pretty good lead against Central Arkansas, who came back and made it a three-point – they still lost 35-32. And then Eastern defeating Nicholls State 27-7. And then the game of the night was probably West Georgia and Southern Utah, with West Georgia winning 27-24. Kicked the field goal with literally 1 second left to go. So they will be coming into the Fort this Saturday at 5-0.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be like game of the week for a lot of people. It's a tough team that you didn't think was going to be undefeated, and they are. Kyle, we talked about it before the season. West Georgia in the UAC coaches poll was predicted to finish last in the conference, and now here they are undefeated coming to your house. So that'll be tough. You know,
I love the parity in the league. Like, I love stories like that. Because, look, I don't think Austin Peay was also really expected to be ranked right now and be one of the top teams in the conference. So, you know, what do polls know? What do analysts know?
Yeah. Well, we were projected to finish sixth. So yeah, that's you know, Abilene getting destroyed by Incarnate Word, I can kind of – It helps us because it's another loss for Abilene, but it also, I think, kind of looks bad because, you know, they beat us and then they get blown out. Central Arkansas got another loss, which is always good to see. They're definitely having a down year. And, you know, West Georgia won, but Southern Utah got another loss. So now they already have four losses. So there was a lot of good stuff that happened. It would have been nice to see Nichols beat EKU, but EKU hasn't looked good until this week. This was their first good performance.
So well, I can tell you this. I like the fact that West Georgia had to go to Utah and then had a knockout game with them, and then they have to come to Clarksville. Like, I love the fact that they're coming off of, like, one of those tough games, a tough road game. They don't get the benefit of being back at home. They now have to hit the road again and get ready for a Govs team that is also really good.
Well, that's what Chris said, like, before last week. He was saying that because I said it'd be nice for Southern to knock off West Georgia so they're not undefeated coming into Clarksville. But he was like, no, I don't want to play them coming off a loss because, you know, they're going to be mad. And so, you know, they got a hard-fought win, like you said. They have to fly back across the country to come play us. So I think it sets up pretty good.
I think what's going to be tough for them is, you know, they played in Utah last night. I would have to guess probably fly back today. Then they got to leave Georgia on either Thursday or Friday to come here. I mean, not a lot of – you're going to lose at least one day of practice.
For sure.
So a lot of traveling for them. So, and I think that was one thing that, you know, you look at Utah Tech yesterday, I think they had a lot of fatigue, and I think that was probably one of the reasons why is they've been on the road. I think they've only had one home game, and we're talking about going into week six. You know, so they've been
road warriors. There's definitely some wild travel schedules in this league. So, Kyle, do you have anything else you want to get out, or Chris, anything else y'all want to get out about Austin Peay before we move on? The game yesterday.
Look, I think that this has been a team that has been battle tested on the road already. Because you know, front half of our schedule is very road heavy. It's nice to actually have them back here back to back weeks before, you know, again, I know that we have a bye coming up, not the week after, but I think like the week of the 18th we have a bye.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to get them a little bit of rest as well. But this team is doing a lot of good, and they're putting in a lot of work, and they are trying really, 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 really hard to bring home a victory each and every week. We're seeing a different team from last year. We're seeing a team that fights every single possession that they get. And you also have a team here that is finding ways to win despite having a lot of penalties. So I would really like to see them clean that up for next week, because I'm sure Coach Ferris would as well.
Like you said, this is the type of game coming up that penalties could definitely cost you. So, with that being said, let's go pee, obviously. The next topic on the agenda, we got some big news. Clarksvillians got some big news this week. So, the Nashville Cats are going to be playing their home games at F&M Bank Arena officially. So, Kyle, kind of break it down for us. What does this mean for the city? You know, what made them decide to do this?
Well, it means pro, you know, there's a form of pro football here in Clarksville coming to F&M Bank Arena in the 2026-2027 season. And one of the reasons why they did that is, you know, their most attended and financially lucrative games have been in Clarksville. Right. I think sometimes they get lost in the shuffle up in Nashville with things like, obviously, the Titans. Predators are up there. The Nashville Sounds are up there as well. And then, of course, just Nashville in general. They kind of get lost in the shuffle a bit. Clarksville now gets a team and has a chance to support this team. And they even did an economic study where not only did the Cats benefit from being here, so did local businesses in Clarksville. You know, people went to downtown restaurants before the game. They spent more time downtown hanging out and giving business to local places. So sure, it's a financially beneficial for both of us. I said that really incorrectly because I'm kind of dumb and struggling with lack of sleep here, but it's mutually financially beneficial to all parties involved. Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, it's a great family-friendly atmosphere of football.
Yeah. Chris, go ahead.
No, I'll piggyback what Kyle was just saying there. And I think it's, not big just for, the people of Clarksville, but for businesses downtown. I mean, he's right. I mean, that playoff game, I mean, there was people all over downtown and downtown Commons at, just walking around downtown. So I think, and I put this on Twitter too, but, it's not just big for, F&M Bank Arena, but just for the city in general, I think. So I think it's awesome.
Really, the only question that I have now, some people listen to this probably be like, well, are they still going to be?
Yeah.
Are they still going to be the Nashville Cats? So I actually talked to Bobby Dvorsky this week when they made the announcement. He was on the radio show. And he did say that, yes, this year they are still going to be the Nashville Cats.
Okay.
But during the year, during the season, they are going to be reaching out to the community and figuring out, what would you like to see it named? Do you just want it to be the Clarksville Cats? Do you want a whole new name altogether? What should it be? I've heard some people saying it should be the Tennessee Cats, but I wouldn't mind something like that. But I also don't mind if they stayed the Nashville Cats and played here, because, I mean, look, heads up, the Dallas Cowboys, they don't play in Dallas, you know?
Right.
Like,
Washington Commanders, New York.
Right. So,
Braves don't play in Atlanta.
Yeah. I don't need them to be the Clarksville Cats if they think that, hey, having that Nashville title in there is a little bit better. I'm fine with that. I personally would like to see them be, the Clarksville Cats or whatever, have Clarksville in front of it. But I honestly wouldn't mind a Tennessee moniker.
Yeah, I don't really care. Yeah, I don't really care either. Yeah, no.
Look, I'm just happy we got football here.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, well, right now I'm not gonna nitpick that. I'm just happy that I get more football in Clarksville.
I've seen some people want them to be called the Clarksville Cats, but with Clarksville with a K. I'll just be real. I think that sounds kind of corny to me, or looks kind of corny, but hey, maybe that's just me. I don't know, but I would not have a problem if they say Nashville Cats. I mean, that's just how people around here that are familiar with them have known them by, as Nashville Cats.
I don't want to change the logo, though. I want to stay the Cats, and I love our logo color scheme. I don't want to change that. City name, whatever. Nashville, Clarksville, Tennessee, I don't care. Whatever.
Can we be the Clarksville Roundabouts?
Clarksville Guardrails.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
We did used to have a semi-pro baseball team called Clarksville Coyotes. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, didn't the Coldplay CEO guy play for them?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yep.
But no, I think this is gonna be a great time. And I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And the great thing is that the Nashville Cats wanted to be here.
Right.
Clarksville wanted them to be here, as you could tell when they showed up for games, and not only just games, but Mayor Golden had a tailgate party for the championship game because it was played somewhere else, and people showed up for that. Like, the city just likes football; they like having their own thing. So I think this is a win-win for everybody, and super excited.
Yeah, I remember the last game, the playoff game. There was, I'm assuming they were a parent of somebody on the other team, and they had one of their shirts on or something, and they were talking to me at the concession line, just bragging about how awesome the atmosphere was. He said they'd been to several other arenas, and I mean, I'm sure he was exaggerating a little bit, but he said you can probably put together the arenas they had been to, put together the amount of attendance, and it would combine with what we had in that one game.
Yeah,
the other thing that was really cool was, like, when we went to that playoff game, my family and I were in our seats and we're watching the game, and I happened to like just look up over my left shoulder, and literally two rows above me was Jeff Fisher just sitting there watching the game. I was like, oh wow, like, this is actually really cool. I got Coach Fisher just right here.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. And, you know, people are always wanting stuff to do downtown and saying there's nothing to do in Clarksville. Well, here you go. There's professional sports taking place in a very nice arena downtown. Free parking downtown. A new parking garage is open and built. So,
and I can't wait to watch people still bitch and complain about it.
Oh, yeah. You know they will.
Great. We have a pro football team now, but what about the pothole out on Trenton Road, huh? When are we going to get that fixed?
What about the sidewalks? We need more sidewalks.
Yeah. This is great, but there's still no parking. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Professional football teams here, huh? Well, how come we don't have a Trader Joe's here yet?
Our teachers still don't make enough. Why are we getting a professional team? It's just like stuff that's not even correlated. It's just, but anyway.
Oh, I'm excited. You got a pro football team coming here? How about the crime rate in town? Huh? What are you going to do to address that?
They're lying about the numbers, Kyle, obviously. What about the unreported crimes? God.
My favorite part, my favorite thing to see on some of these like posts are all of these people who will be like, this person's corrupt. And you're like, okay, how? They're like, they just are. Okay. Well, take your word for it, Mr. Person on Facebook.
There's a guy that, you know, well-known radio host in town who I've heard can be bought in exchange for soft serve ice cream. So
I can neither confirm nor deny any of those allegations. And I mean, that sounds like a serious problem. And I mean, honestly, we shouldn't have that in our town if that's the case. Like, I don't know who it is, but I hope you find them, and I hope we get rid of them.
All right, guys. Well, y'all got any?
Why do I feel like that sketch from I Think You Should Leave Now of the guy wearing the hot dog outfit being like, we're all trying to find who did this.
Yeah. Do y'all have anything else about the cats or Gus before we get on out of here?
Yes, I did have one more thing. Yes. To say, go Texans. They blanked. Yeah.
Hey,
CJ is back, baby. He's back. As long as we play the Titans every week.
Congrats on win number one against the worst team in the league.
Thank you. You thought that I wouldn't celebrate that, but with as bad as we have been playing, I will absolutely celebrate it. So thank you.
Kyle, coach's show this Wednesday, right?
Yes, every single Wednesday you can join us over at Shelby's Trio over at the Skyline 500 Bar, 6 to 7. We are live on ESPN Clarksville. That's where you can hear it, or you just come see the show live. Come meet Coach Ferris. Come meet the players. Coach Gibson and the basketball team is always out there supporting because they're right next door over at F&M Bank Arena. And also, don't forget, this season, new thing that's happening – every single home game for the Governors, every home game, there is the Coors Light VIP tailgate experience. Mm-hmm. And you can get tickets at letsgop.com. And when you get those tickets, you then get to partake in Buffalo Wild Wings that is going to be there. There will be drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. You will have Coach Ferris joining us, so you get to see him. There will also be Gov student athletes who will show up. Jordan Harmon, the athletic director, came through, and he was hanging out. And we will have the live pregame coverage of the big Gov's kickoff show 2 hours, well, 3 hours before kickoff time. So against West Georgia, the kickoff is at 3. We will start the kickoff show at noon. So come on out. It's a great time. Get your tickets. It's absolutely a blast. Oh, and you get access to the field pregame as well if you get those tickets. So please come on down. It'll be a great time.
I'm glad you were here, Kyle, because I meant to actually say something to you about that. I turned on 104.1. Well, I turned my truck on. It was already on 104.1 yesterday, 3 hours before kickoff, and we were already talking about it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I love getting to do the pregame show. Well, one part of the pregame show, because you know you also have Van and Brian Reeves who do Gov's game day an hour before, and it's right. it's so much fun. You know, Brian comes down and chats with us. I love talking with him. He's just a wealth of information and just a pure football guy, which is awesome. And it's just an absolute blast to wake up on a Saturday and know, oh, I get to go hang out at the fort all day because it's game day.
It really is awesome. Like, it makes my day. Like, I look forward to this, like, all year.
Oh, man. It's a blast. Like, yesterday, I got down at the fort at 9, like 9 a.m. I got down there. I got everything set up. And then, yeah, I don't think I left the fort until probably about, like, 3:30. So it's just, it's a fun day. It's a fun atmosphere. We're right there in Tailgate Alley. So we're right by the Gov's Walk. It's a blast. And for everybody who has listened, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, we'll put a link to go check Kyle's stuff out. Obviously, hear him every morning on Q108 and the pregame show, coaches show, all of that. We'll put the links to Kyle's socials. Chris, anything else?
No, I'm good. Let's go pee.
Let's go pee.
Let's go pee!
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.